This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I am so grateful to be with you again today. And today I have a guest who I would consider a friend. We don't get to talk very often, but I would consider us friends. We went to the same church. I know his lovely wife and actually even know his children to some degree. And my guest today is Bob Brooks, and you might know him too. He served as the elected sheriff of Ventura County, California for 12 years, the culmination of a 37-year career in law enforcement. Sheriff Brooks received a Doctor of Laws degree from California Lutheran University and graduate degrees from the Naval Postgraduate School and Regent University. He's currently an adjunct professor of public policy at Pepperdine University. Bob and his wife, Debbie, are actively involved in New Hope Christian Fellowship in Simi Valley, where they live and participate in foreign wheelchair distribution trips with Johnny and friends. Bob has recently finished his first book, titled Declarations, Living and Leading Above Your Circumstances. I love that title, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Sue.
It's really good to have you on. So let's just get into this book, because I am in the process of a book myself. And I have to tell you, I feel like I'm birthing a baby. I really
well,
feel that
yeah,
way.
I felt a little bit that way, too, especially when it's the first time that you've done it. I had an impression that I was going to write a book years and years ago of some of the life experiences that I've had, some of the biblical principles that I used in leading a large law enforcement organization, and some of the inspirational people that I've dealt with. But it was only after I retired that I actually had the time to sit down and let inspiration become a body of information that would go out to people. So it is a little bit like that. It's all brand new. When you're done, you kind of don't know what to do with it.
Yep. Exactly.
But I've been really gratified in the reception that I've received.
Yes, that's great. Well, you're ahead of the curve as far as I'm concerned, because you've already got the book out and it's already available, which we will talk about at the end of the show. But I have noticed that it's difficult. Like you said, you get the words on the page and you get the experiences there, and you want it to make a difference in people's lives because that's the kind of person you are. And you get it all on paper, and then what? So I'm at that place where I'm going, and then what? And you're past that a little bit. So I might call you later and just, lean on you a little bit.
Sure.
Because writing a book is really a new experience. So what was your inspiration for your book?
Well, it actually all started when I taught a Bible study on the book of Philippians. And these were the last words of the Apostle Paul, last written words. He could have gone to trial, could have lost his life. And in law enforcement, we look at the dying declaration says, an expression of the most important thing you want to say in life, because it's the last chance you may have. So I took a look at some of the declarations that he made, both for his life and for the people that he was writing to, and out of that gleaned some personal declarations. I took verses, like the Philippians 1:6, that says, I'm sure that God, who began a good work within you, will keep on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished. And I personalized that by making a declaration for myself that said, I will value who I'm becoming more than what I'm achieving. And over the course of years, I added 10 other declarations, and I put them on a piece of paper, put it under the glass on my desk, and every day I'd review those biblical principles. It kind of was a moral compass for me and the kind of decisions I had to make as a leader. And then once I had time to really reflect after I retired, I realized I've met so many inspirational people that have helped to shape my life who have modeled some of those attributes that I've been using for so many years. And if I married those declarations with those inspirational people's story, I'd really have something to tell and a point of encouragement for others. and a way of helping them make declarations of their own.
That is so awesome. You know, I'm as a listener, you know, you're listening right now and you are listening to The Sue Freeze Show, and I'm with Bob Brooks, who just wrote a book titled Declarations, Living and Leading Above Your Circumstances. You know, he had 37 years in law enforcement, and I'm sure you've seen a whole lot, Bob, during that time, and you've experienced a lot of things, you know, because everything we do, we're involved with people, and people come with baggage, they come with experiences, and, you know, sometimes people learn from mistakes and they change their ways, and other times people are stuck in a situation where they're not sure what to do or they don't even know that they're stuck. And we call this journey called life, you know, that we're going through this life and we're going through it together. And I love that you're saying that you want to, you know, that there's an inspiration here that you learned from other people, and we are called to be there for one another. I wondered if, you know, these things that you said that were your moral compass that you read underneath your glass every day, are those in your book?
Yes, each chapter of the book is one of those declarations, followed by my personal story of walking through the lessons of learning how to apply that to my life and the situation that I had, and not only my personal life, but also leading 1,500 people in a law enforcement organization and being in church leadership and missions leadership. So each chapter reflects on my experience, digs into the Bible passage that the declaration is based on, and then tells a story about somebody that really amplifies the truth that I'm trying to get across.
So I was wondering, is there a way of, I have this website called Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com. And at the end of every show, we put these radio shows, like your show, on the Sue Freeze site as a podcast. And a lot of the times we will put something in writing in the helping hand section of the SueFreeze.com site so people can refer to this. Do you think that there's something that you could give for the site that people could go on, click on, if they know somebody that's going to want to hear what we're going to talk about today and they can't get a hold of that person, it's nice to know that they can just go to this site and they can have the friend or the family member, you know, listen to the podcast at their convenience. But also if we had some of this in writing, I know I'm going to refer to the book and say, get the book, but just a single page or these declarations that you're talking about, if you had those available, we could put them on the site so that they could see them and refer, because we want to help other people, don't we?
Absolutely. And probably the best way for them to get a summary of the book, a little bit of a flavor of the book through some of the reviews that have been made, is at sheriffbobbrooks.com.
Okay.
And at that site, they will get more information, a little bit more of my story, some of the reviews that kind of encapsulate the things that are in the book themselves.
Okay, so we can just attach that to the podcast maybe so that they can go there. But sometimes people will just want to come to the Sue Freeze site, so maybe we could put something on there too. We'll see what we can do. Can you tell us about some of the inspirational people you interviewed?
Yeah, I tried to put a balance of people that were well-known, people who were prominent in their fields, and also some people that were off the radar who were kind of quiet heroes, some nonprofit leaders. Johnny Erickson Tata is one of the interviews that I have. She leads an international disability ministry and became a quadriplegic at the age of 17 and is now 63, I believe, and has had worldwide impact, especially in reaching the disabled and their families. Nick Wojcik, who was born without any arms or legs, and is the founder of Life Without Limbs Ministry, is a young man just in his late 20s now. He's been married recently. He's had a child, has led one of the most inspirational lives that you could ever imagine, despite very, very serious disabilities. Politicians like Greg Totten, District Attorney of Ventura County, Pastor Eddie, who's a personal friend that I met through the missions to Haiti, who is actually running for the president of Haiti to try to bring a sense of morality to that government and clean up a country. He has tremendous vision that he believes the Lord has given to him. Nonprofit leaders like Betty Alvarez Ham, who's basically the founder of City Impact, that's touching urban communities and troubled kids and families. Edgar Mejorco, that has an incredible story, coming out of gangs in Puerto Rico, in addition to having to overcome substance abuse and the criminal background that he was involved in. After he came to Christ, he started working with gang members and lost his daughter in a tragic accident, and how God got him through the loss of a loved one and actually propelled him to further ministry as a result of the, you know, the pain that he went through. Some people that are kind of quiet, most people wouldn't know about Mary Buxton, who has a husband who has Parkinson, and she's had to become a caregiver, and the struggles that she's worked with and how God has been her provision in that. Ken Kuykendall, who has had several dramatic bouts of cancer. God's healed him, restored him. He's had to go through the fight again. Now, you know, but he has more perseverance and faith than probably anybody I've ever met. Those are the kind of people that I've tried to feature as I've gone along, because each of them teach us life lessons, and each of them touch an area of our lives where we've had, if not identical, but similar kinds of circumstances to triumph over.
You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show, and I'm with Bob Brooks, who just wrote a book titled Declarations, Living and Leading Above Your Circumstances. You know, I some of the people you mentioned, I actually know and have watched myself personally, and I can say that they are a testimony of their faith and their love of Christ, and they just are amazing. You mentioned Mary, and I knew Sam before he was taken by this disease, and it's just amazing to see how Mary deals with that, and Sam is still just the most loving, welcoming person when you come to church. It's just amazing to see it in action. It's just awesome. I can't wait to get a copy of your book, Bob, because you know, it's so inspirational. And listeners, there's, you know, some of you out there that are struggling and that you're having a really, really hard time. And we look at our lives and we think that, you know, just, you know, God, you say you won't give us more than we can handle, but right now it sure feels like it. And I think about, I don't know him personally, but the man without limbs, the ministry without limbs, I saw a video of him right when he had gotten married. And, you know, looking at him, he, you know, he tried to kill himself because he thought, what in the world could I offer this world? And now look at what he's doing. And it's just an amazing story. And to think that, you know, I don't know if I can get a copy of the video that I saw. Bob, is there a way I could get the video? Because I'd love to put that up on my site too.
The video is available on YouTube.
Yes. So I can attach it to my site, because it's an amazing, amazing story that he has. And you know, when we think we just can't, we, you know, what can we bring to this world? What difference could we make? Have you ever asked yourself that? And then you look at or read a book like Bob Brooks, or you see a video, or you hear of a story that just gives you the encouragement to understand that you were created for a purpose, and God knows the purpose. You were created for His will. And when we decide to get out of ourselves and realize that, you know, we are here to help other people, then we get out of ourselves and we can do just that. We can help other people. And it sounds like your book is an encouragement beyond encouragement.
Well, and that's really the goal of the stories. These are not survivor stories. You know, God has much more in store for us than survival. These are people that not only survived, but they overcame, and as a result of that, had much greater influence than they would if they hadn't gone through hardship. Each one of these people have turned their dilemma into something that's propelled their influence to reach people that would have been far outside of their scope if they hadn't gone through hardship themselves, been able to empathize with other people that have gone through the same kind of things, gained the credibility in the sight of others that, you know, they know, they understand, they've been there, but they have a message that there can be more than this.
So what are a few of the declarations that you featured?
There are 11 of the declarations, and you know, just in a short review, there, I will value who I'm becoming more than what I'm achieving. I will honor God by my attitude, actions, and reputation. I will live courageously so that I will never regret what could have been. I will serve others out of gratitude to Christ who gave himself for me. I will be positive in a negative world and direct attention to the Lord and not myself. I will not allow good things to distract me from the only prize worth attaining. I will not let failure keep me from sprinting across the finish line. I will be joyful in all circumstances because God is in control and will ultimately prevail. I will pray instead of worry so that I can live in peace, having left all in God's capable hands. I will focus my attention on people, work, and images that improve my character. And finally, I will succeed in every circumstance by relying on God's strength. And all of these are based on verses from, that the Apostle Paul had in his book on the last book to the Philippians, and they have scriptural basis. They're timeless principles. They're just as applicable today, and they're really applicable to everybody's life in some dimension.
Yes, they are. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and I'm with Bob Brooks, who just wrote a book titled Declarations, Living and Leading Above Your Circumstances. And if you're listening in San Diego, welcome on KPRZ. And you know, this world and this internet now is just so amazing because you could be listening anywhere in the world, and that is just wow to me. We can reach so far and so wide now with the internet, so it's great. So Bob, how has your public and humanitarian service shaped your leadership style?
Well, the public service raised the bar for me. The scope of my responsibility as sheriff was so much greater than anything that I had to deal with before that I realized I needed to start on a solid foundation that I could really trust. And that's when I got serious about putting together personal declarations. I, from the very beginning of my career, when I had the first supervisory role, was convicted of the fact that for all the education that I'd received about leadership and managing an organization, so there's really nothing new. People are the same as they have been for thousands of years. And the Bible is really the best leadership book that you could possibly put your hands on. So I began applying principles early on and defined them better as I went through time. So the pressure that it put on me forced me to be more serious about becoming a leader that could really have their feet solidly planted on biblical truth that was dependable. It wasn't a fad. It wasn't going to change. There wasn't going to be a new book that was going to make a difference. And I found that any success that I had in my career, I can attribute to that. As I've been in public and humanitarian service, it's exposed me to real heroes, heroes that are very often off the track and you know, they don't make the news and they don't do anything scandalous, but they're quietly serving in a way that inspired me and really, again, raised the bar for my life, showing me what is possible, showing me how leadership can be something that's God-honoring and also be a blessing to the people that you serve. And so the more that I saw of service, the more I was convicted that I could do more and better, and God was calling me to something higher than I'd experienced before.
And every step of the way, you know, I've realized this with my life personally, is that every experience is preparing me for the next challenge.
Absolutely. And life is a test, and I would say that to my kids, and I'd say it to the people I worked with as well. It's not just the outcome, it's the process.
Yes.
We're very focused on the end of the game, but God uses all the process things to prepare us for that.
Right.
And sometimes the process really is the test. And so at every stage, even though it's an internal decision and point of growth, we're accountable to how we react. Do we act with obedience and trust in God, or you know, do we rely on our own efforts and hit a wall and eventually have to come back and start again?
Right. And so often, you know, that is what happens. And the Lord is faithful, and He'll stay firm. And it's up to us to choose the right way, which is His way. And you said react, and I was thinking respond, which means somewhat, I would say, pretty much the same thing, is that, you know, it's when we talk about journey and we talk about, you know, that preparation for life is how we handle each individual thing that comes our way. And if we have the focus off ourselves and the focus on the bigger declaration or bigger picture, which is to glorify God in all that we say and do, then it changes maybe sometimes, most of the time, maybe how we would respond or how we would react in any given situation. And the Bible is our rule book. It is the rule book for this game called life. And if we look to it that way, sometimes people will say to me, you know, I read scriptures, but they're just words on a page. I'm not gathering really what it's trying to tell me. What would you say to that person, Bob?
Well, the words lead you to a person. And, you know, the Bible is full of great principles that can be applied by anyone. But the intent of it is to draw you to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you know the person, the words take on value and meaning that they wouldn't any other way. Because you're spiritually alive, having received Christ. You're part of God's family. You can hear from His Spirit how He would draw truth out of the Word. And, you know, one of the things that I passed along to people, and we were talking about the influence of the public and humanitarian service, I recognized that because I was an outspoken Christian and had a constituency of almost 900,000 people, everybody would be watching what I did, listening to what I say, looking for flaws in the armor, wanting to find fault. And so that gave you a sense of accountability, and the accountability wasn't to those people. It was to live a life that honored God, even when you were under a microscope. And the one thing that probably contributed as much to that as anything else is my wife and I, you know, faithfully for many years, have started our day, you know, in humility, realizing that we don't have what it takes to get through a day and to hold up to the standard that is expected of us without God's help. And so we'll read the Bible together. We'll apply and talk about what we've learned. We'll pray and prepare our hearts for the day coming in, relying on God's strength, not ours, knowing how, you know, flawed we are as human beings, and believing that God will be enough for anything that we've encountered. So the book is what leads you to the author of the book, and knowing the author of the book takes on a life-giving dimension.
That is so true, and that's very good. And you went to your marriage and Debbie and how you live your life, and I would say that married couples out there, it's a very, very difficult thing, marriage is. It can be. It doesn't have to be, but it can be, because you're really close with this person, and they know the most. They know the most about you. And what you said about prayer and discussing and communicating, those are all really wonderful gifts that we give to one another in marriage or in any relationship. You know, God says, you know, seek me first, right? He says, seek me first, and then everything else will, and love thy neighbor as thyself, and then everything else will work out. And so He's kind of given you, you know, two really big tips on how to make this life work, right?
Well, absolutely. And we have done classes for married couples for years and years and years, and dealt with people at various stages of life and various stages of relationship. And the answer, you know, there are a lot of tips that you can give people, a lot of things that you should do. But the core issue is selfishness. You have two selfish people by nature that now are trying to get along in the same household, and you're going to have conflict. And the one thing that a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ does is it begins to deal with that issue of selfishness. It's not all about you anymore. It's about Him. And that's something you can share together. And He can change those elements of human nature that don't lend to harmony and bring you into harmony the closer each of you individually get together, especially if you're sharing that relationship as husband and wife and your focus is to make your home a place where God is honored.
That really helps with goals, doesn't it? We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days.
Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their two-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola, for giving us the opportunity to share this book, this story, and Bob Brooks with you. And, you know, Bob, right before the break, we were talking, and I just wanted to segue because marriages, you were talking about your marriage and you and Debbie and what you do day to day. And, you know, what we choose to do day to day changes the biggest outcome and the goals we set. Sometimes we can get so sidetracked. And you said self-centeredness, and that is so true. We can be selfish, and we forget the big picture, which is what God wants. So I'm glad that you said that. And I know there's a lot of couples out there that really didn't have the best of role models growing up. You know, they didn't have marriages or families where the parents were functional. 99% of families are dysfunctional. And so to be able to change that, right where we are right now. See, we have that option, don't we? You know, we can make decisions today to change the outcome for our kids, our future, and the future of the world just by making small little choices such as, you know what, let's make a decision today that we are going to pray together every day. Let's make a decision today that we're going to read the Bible together and we're going to talk about our interpretation of what we read. And I just think it's amazing what you said, because I think that's so, so healthy. So healthy.
One of the things that I experienced when I first became a patrol officer, you're in your early 20s, you're exciting, it's a dynamic career, you're pouring everything into it, you want to start out well, and you're working an awful lot of hours. I was seeing that very quickly a lot of my peers were having marital problems. They were, you know, going to a bar after work, divorces started happening, you know, the job was kind of everything, the family was pushed aside, and we were married very early in life. I was just turned 20, Debbie just turned 18, so we were the most mature people in the world when we got married, you know, and we desperately wanted to do it right. We wanted to finish well, both in our marriage and certainly in my career. We didn't want to have a real quick, fantastic start and a terrible ending. So we did as much as we could together. When work was over, I went home. I wanted to be with my wife, not with the guys, or I chose to be with my wife, not with the guys. We would go to church together whenever my schedule allowed. I was, you know, sometimes working during those times. We were involved in some kind of service for almost all of that time. We had friends that had the same commitment to Christ and to marriage that we had as a core that would encourage us and help us stay safe and on track and with the right priorities. And we would raise our kids to know and honor God. And those are things that were constant, and through the various changes of life, those things never have changed. And those points of connection were what have helped us grow closer and closer over the years. We just celebrated our 43rd anniversary, and you know, I love my wife more than I did at any stage before then, because that's the way love's supposed to be. It's supposed to, it's just like our love for God is supposed to grow. Our love for each other can grow just as well. But those key things that we focused on early and stayed with throughout the process of the passage of years are really what made a difference in our lives.
So, listener, I hope you paid close attention to that, because it is true that you really can be in a relationship for 40-odd years and be married for that many years and love each other more. And I agree with that. It should be that. You know, you learn more about each other. You know, I'm still learning about me, and I'm over 50, and I know that, you know, I'm going, gosh, why did I respond like that? Why did that happen? And when you ask that question, it's really good, because you want to know what's happening inside of you. Our emotions are there for a reason. We should never discard our emotions. Do we have to respond or react based on them? No. We can be mature, and we can just analyze and evaluate what we're feeling and why we're feeling that way, and then decide what we're going to do about it. And I think that's so beautiful. And thank you so much for sharing that, Bob. I loved everything you just said. It was just so wonderful. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. If you're just tuning in, that's okay. You can go to Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can get this podcast and share it with anyone and everyone you want to, and I hope you do. And contact me. Get in touch with me via email through the website, and let me know what it is you'd like to talk about, what you'd want to hear, just anything you want to say. Just be sure and do that, would you? I'd really appreciate it. So, Bob, who might benefit? I already know the answer to this, but who might benefit from reading declarations?
Well, I had a number of different target audiences. One, because of my career, I wanted to have a message for leaders and aspiring leaders, because I know that early in my career and all the way through, I needed encouragement and direction and inspiration from other leaders that I respected, and I've always been fortunate to have those. I also wanted to target people who were going through difficult circumstances that needed hope that they could triumph, needed hope that God could not only get them through it, but he could turn this into a blessing, something that would enhance their life and allow them to reach other people in a way that they couldn't have. And I also wanted to target people that wanted to know how to live out a bigger purpose in life than just getting through the day, through the years, getting the kids through school, what was going to be there for them at the end, because they believe God had a call that was greater than that. And I wanted to give them also some stories that would stimulate them to put their faith in God's call and believe that, as unlikely as it may seem, God could make it come to pass.
I love that. This show is about the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. And I think your book is talking about exactly those same things. So we're both, like-minded in this regard. And it's so wonderful to hear the way you articulate things, because people need to be encouraged at times. And then those same people can be an encouragement to others when they see that there's other people that need their support. And you know what? It's just about giving. It's about giving and being there for one another. And I love it, because I feel like sometimes when I talk to people and they're just feeling so down and out, and they're just feeling like, they just really don't know how they're going to get through another day. And then they do. And then another day, and then another day, and the sun comes up new every morning. And some of us have more difficult things, and some of us think that they're really difficult, but then we listen to somebody else's story and realize that maybe ours isn't so bad. And I think your book is like that.
Well, really every story that I tell in the book is of somebody who's gone through much more than I ever have. And their ability to go through that and be victorious at the end of the story has really stimulated me, because we can all feel sorry for ourselves. Everybody goes through something, and you wonder why, and you think nobody's ever gone through more than you have. And you start to look around, and you can see heroes of the faith all around you that can give you hope that there's a much better end than that.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite scripture?
You know, it's hard for me to say I have a favorite one, but I think if I had to pick one, it would be Philippians 1:20 and 21. It says, "I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that will cause me to be ashamed of myself, but that I'll always be ready to speak out boldly for Christ while I'm going through these trials here, just as I have in the past, that I will always be an honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I must die."
Wow. I love that. That is
one story
awesome.
I tell in the book. I was fishing with my boys in the June Lake area, and we'd fished in the morning with some friends and caught our limit, went back to the hotel room, and they were tired because they had to get up so early, and I was still rearing to go, so I said, "Let's go for a hike," and I didn't get a response from them, so I just went by myself. But I was walking up the hill, and it's a beautiful view, and you can see the lake from there, and the Lord was just speaking to my heart, and it was kind of like he was quizzing me, and I, felt him kind of say, "Well, how many people would have heard me when I spoke in the Temple Square?" And I'd read that recently, and up to 100,000 people might have been there just before the Passover. And the conversation, silently went along. How many people saw me after I raised from the dead? How many people were You know, there when I multiplied the loaves and fishes, well, you know, thousands and then hundreds some after he rose from the dead. And how many people, you know, did I send out two by two? Well, that was 70. And how many were disciples? It was 12. And, you know, how many were part of the inner circle? It was 3. And how many were the one disciple that Jesus loved? And it was 1. And what the Lord spoke to me on that hike was, which one do you want to be? And that really stopped me short, because I realized I didn't want to pay the price to get close to the top of that level. I was much more comfortable sometimes being part of the crowd, being around Jesus, seeing what he was doing, not pressing into relationship that had a higher price tag. And at that point, he convicted my heart, and I realized, yeah, I want to be the one he loves. Not that there aren't plenty others that are going to be there too, but I don't want to stop short of that. Either you pursue God with passion, or you're fooling yourself and you're missing the best that he has for you. And, you know, he's had to stir me that way, you know, many times in my life, but that's one that I've never forgotten.
That's a wonderful story, really wonderful story. And I think all the listeners got what they needed to hear out of that. Tell us about the challenge you give to readers at the end of your book.
Well, what I encourage readers to do, you know, the book is available at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble and select independent bookstores. But I encourage them to read the book, and many people will call me back and correspond with me that they read it through once, and then they read it a second time more slowly and thoughtfully and prayerfully. And then what I encourage them to do after that process is to use God's written word to direct them to creating personal declarations for their life. Because the ones that work for me aren't for everybody. That's what God spoke to me. But God's got something specific for them to key in terms of basically a succession of life verses, but capitalized so that you can repeat them quickly, that they can use as a moral compass and a spiritual compass as they walk through their life. I refer to my declarations daily during my working career, and I can't tell you how many times God would speak to me and give me an answer or give me direction or give me some comfort on an issue after having done that. And I believe that's something that everybody can take away and say, okay, I've really focused on what God said was important to me. I'm going to review it. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to make it part of my life. It's going to be so natural that that's going to immediately flow to mind every time I face, you know, circumstances and confrontations of my own.
In the business world, we call that, I think, a mission statement. There's a vision statement and a mission statement, a value statement, and it basically helps you stay on target, you know, when you have all these things coming at you. You know, this world is a loud, loud place.
Right.
And in our lives, we have a mission statement, too. It's God's purpose, what we're created for. And what is the number? I mean, you had a magical number. I think you said 10, I think is what you said. Do you think that everybody has around 10, or do you think that's a good number for people to be praying for? Is 10 declarations for them to live their life by?
Well, what I found is I started with 1.
Mm-hmm.
And as God would impress something else on my heart, I would add 1. And they were all within the book of Philippians, so you had a limited space, but I knew that was encapsulated and it was so full of truth, and I ended up with 11 by doing that, and at 11, that was kind of the outside level of I didn't want to have more. And you mentioned mission statements and vision statements. Most of us do that at work. I met very, very few people in my life who've done it for their life.
Mm-hmm.
And covering their spiritual life, their family life, their personal life. Very few people have taken the same time. They spend less time planning their life out according to God's standard than they do planning a weekend away. And so this is basically a process of doing that, forcing you to thoughtfully say, how do I want my life to end? What do I want to be known for having lived? How will I be accountable to God for it? And what's he going to hold me accountable to? And so applying the same thought that we do to a lot of mundane and far less important things in life to the most important thing that we ever have.
Right. run the race to win the prize. What's the prize, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But, wow. You know, and in my life, somebody asked me on a recent interview, being in law enforcement, you know, you get criticized for a lot of things and you have to make controversial decisions. And how did you deal with that? And I said, frankly, you know, I had 900,000 people that had a vote and an opinion, and some of them are going to be unhappy with everything I did. So I tried to please everybody for a while, and I realized that wasn't going to work. So I finally came down to the point, if God would be happy with what I did, and my wife and my kids could respect me for what I did, then I really didn't care.
That's
good. That was the circle I focused on. And you know, that kept me from making compromises to make people happy that would have eroded my integrity over time.
That's another good rule. That's a good rule and a good standard to live by. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show, and I'm with Bob Brooks, who just wrote a book titled Declarations, Living and Leading Above Your Circumstances. Boy, you have given us so many golden nuggets, Bob, in this little short time we've had. And every time that I've talked to you, it's been like that. It's like I want to be this sponge and just absorb. You're just so wise. You're a wise man. And, you know, you get that from, you know, leaning in and desiring to please God. And we all can do that. And our focus should be on that. And if it is, then God's going to give us what we need in order to endure.
That's absolutely true. You know, one thing from the very beginning of my career I was conscious of is that I wasn't smarter than anybody else at work, and I didn't work harder than anybody else at work, and I certainly wasn't more talented or gifted. What really propelled me to greater and greater influence was a commitment to God's purposes and doing things His way.
And that we can all learn from and live by, and that can help us all progress in this world. You know, in the workplace, you're so right, you cannot please everybody all the time. And, you know, we all try to do that, but we can't. And so we have to keep our eyes focused on what really matters. And we each have a decision, don't we? We have a decision on what does matter. And we can get sidetracked and we can think that this really matters over here, but does it really, really, really matter in the big, big picture?
Right.
And I'm sure you have some stories that, you know, where you've had to make some really tough decisions. Can you lean on one of those right now? I mean, I'm kind of just putting you on the spot. But do you have a story of a time when you were really, like, split on what to do or how to handle something and, you know, the process that you went through?
There were many of those over the years. Uh-huh. I think probably the one that was the most difficult for me was within my own leadership team at work, somebody that I've known for a very long time. It really violated the values of our department, and the easiest thing to do would have been to just, nobody was going to know if you didn't say anything. Nobody was going to care. It was going to go away very quickly. But it would have been a violation of everything that I'd committed myself to over my years of leadership and that I espoused to everyone that I knew. And the easy way out was not the right way out. I couldn't ignore it. I did have to take action on it. It was hard. I paid a price for that. The department paid a price for that. But it reinforced the standards that have made that a great department. And I thought that that was the most important thing, and I think that was the God-honoring thing in that situation.
Yeah, we get tested and tempted, don't we? And
all the time.
Yeah, there is an easier road, but in the long run, it's not really the best way to go. So we have a moral compass.
His intent was never to be popular. And, you know, he could have very easily been swept onto by the crowd and they would have tried to make him a king. But his core accountability and his responsibility was to do what the Father told him to do. And there wasn't a choice to do anything other than that would bring controversy and that would put him at odds with people. But it's the only course that he could take. And very, very often we're put in those positions as well.
When you, you know, I had an elderly lady on my show a couple weeks ago, and she had just lost her husband. She'd been married 66 years, and it was just really endearing. And she said that she really missed her husband because her husband had passed. And I said, you know, what would you attribute your wonderful marriage to? And she says, Say I love you as often as you can. Say thank you as often as you can. And say you're sorry whenever you need to. And I thought that was so good. What would you say to the couples out there? What advice could you give them in 1 minute?
Well, as couples, I would say from the very beginning, build on a foundation of faith in Jesus Christ together and a commitment to do marriage and do parenting His way. And as you press into that relationship and share as much of that relationship as you can together, you will grow closer because God will deal with the selfish side of nature. He will give you a love for each other that you couldn't have on your own. And He will lead you skillfully through the crises of life, which will happen. They'll make you stronger instead of separate you because they'll draw you together around Christ rather than pushing you aside because of your difficulties. And He is faithful.
Yes, He is. When there are difficulties in marriage, is there a better time than another time to discuss, issues? Have you found that there's a better time?
Timing is enormously important. We've dealt with couples and even with our own experience, timing is almost as important as what you say, because when you bring something up at the heat of the moment, the words are lost, the intent is misunderstood, and just as prayerfully as you consider what you should say, you should prayerfully consider when you should say it, and only venture into those waters when the timing's right. Usually that means after the emotion has passed and things are calmed down enough that people are really going to listen, take the time to hear each other out. When you try to do that in the middle of the crisis, it usually just pours gasoline on the flame.
And giving time to, you said to calm down, but also to maybe pray about it. You know, what part of this are you playing and what would be the best way to present it?
Right, and to take that even a step further, to pray together at the beginning of the conversation.
Oh, that's good. That's
so
really
that
good.
You're both kind of coming back to the center core of this is all about Jesus and
right.
what He wants from us and what He wants us to be. And it takes it from a contest between the two of you to a conversation around Him. And
awesome.
That makes a tremendous difference as well. When you pray together about an issue or a dispute or a controversy, it takes 80% of the steam out of the conflict and gives you the position of being more attuned to what God wants to say.
Thank you so much, Bob. You've been listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. Go to the Sue Free, spelled like fries, .com site and hear the podcast again, and I'll have all the information on how you can get the book. Say the what you wanted to say, Bob, about how they can get your book real quick.
Well, you can find out more about the book on sheriffbobbrooks.com, and you can order it online on amazon.com or barnesandnoble.com, and you can pick it up here locally in Camarillo at Christian Family Supplies on Ventura Boulevard.
Awesome. Bob, thank you so much for being with me again. I appreciate
you,
it so much.
So much.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
So until next week, have a wonderful, wonderful day, and God loves you.
Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home. Your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.